Are you very conscious about time management? Are you thinking about or concerned about managing your time? Well, you are a manager then, because you manage at least your time, right? Everyone gets 24 hours a day. Nobody gets more. And everyone has priorities. What's your priority? We prioritize and spend much time to essential things, things that are necessary in life. And how we may dress up expose priority of your day. Are you very conscious how much time you spend dressing up before you go to work, go to school, or appointment, or even now coming to this church building? There was this extremely rich person. He was interviewed. He was asked, "Why do you wear the same color of clothes almost every single day?" And he casually replied, "Well, it can minimize my time deciding which clothes I should wear. I would rather spend time thinking about greater things than thinking about what I wear." Do you know that person? Have you heard that interview before? Look at the interview of, what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg. If you have observed, he just wear gray t-shirt, gray hoodies, and everything. But when he was going to somewhere else or an appointment, he wears another. But for every day, he just wear those colors. He said, "I bought 30 pieces of this." He feels comfortable with it. I remember that being comfortable. There is a t-shirt, it's worn out, but my wife almost threw it away. "No, don't throw that away. I like that t-shirt because it feels good in my skin." Well, Jesus Christ has encouraged his disciples in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 23. Let's read this together. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and body more than clothes." Many individuals are worried about clothes, not because they do not have clothes to wear, but they worry that their clothes would be appreciated. Which clothes would help them appreciated? That is, egocentric variant of worry. Well, does Christ wants us to forget our clothes? Does Christ wants us to forget our body, our appearance? He wants us not to worry much about clothes. But when we worry what to wear, when we worry about appearance, do you accept that it is a violation of his command? Do you accept that we sinned against the command of Christ not to worry about what to wear when we are worrying about what to wear? But still, someone say, may argue, "But Pastor, I'm not worrying. I'm just anxious what I wear, that's all." Now listen carefully. Do you know what it means to be worried? Do you know the word worry, what it means? Worry means anxiousness, uneasiness, disturbed, distracted, or you just care much. That is worry. If you care much, you worry much. If you don't care much about what to wear, You can just wear anything comfortable to you, but not necessarily disregarding social decency or decorum, social decorum. Of course, we need godly wisdom to comprehend, to understand, to acknowledge that when Christ warns us not to worry, it is for our good. I believe that rich man just used his time much properly when he did not worry about clothes, but he just was concerned more about greater things. Well, it is natural self-consciousness, we can say, to worry about appearance, to worry what to wear, to worry if we are accepted or not accepted. Consciously or not, we aspire for appreciation. We like to be appreciated. We like when somebody said, well, I like your shirt. I like your hairstyle. I like your shoes. It only confirms that we choose properly. That is one thing that we would like to be appreciated. To confirm that we did not committed mistake when we do something. If you are assured that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, if you are assured that He has chosen you, you would be anxious more about your behavior, your lifestyle, more than clothes. We may dress up ordinarily, we may dress up extraordinarily, but God judges our action. That's for sure. Now, here is personal reflection. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior sincerely as yourself? As our Savior, Christ was tortured. As our Savior, Christ died for our sins, so that we won't be punished anymore, eternally, for our sins. By faith, we believe that. But the question is, when we say we accepted Him as Lord and Savior, is Christ free? Is He free to function, to perform His Lordship in our life, over our life? Can we say that He can do what He deems necessary for us as our Lord? Christ will return, that's for sure, and He takes His special possession, believers, into His heaven. Let's read again verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now, believers of Christ, Christians, are special possession of God. Special possession of God. Wow. What does that mean, special possession? God designates us as His chosen people. What does that mean? God bestowed upon us the honor as royal priesthood. What does that mean? He set us apart. He separated us from the world as His holy nation. What does that mean? A sacred ethnic group of people. What does that mean? What do we understand? Well, if we are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, how do we explain that when somebody asks us about it? What does it mean to be chosen people of God? What can benefit us as a special possession of God? Well, how do you deal with your special possession? How do you treat your special possession? Now, it's almost opening season of the National Basketball Association in BA. It's pre-season, and basketball enthusiasts may have been watching basketball lately. In professional basketball team, there are 5 players who would be playing in a game. 5 from one team, 5 from the other team. That first 5 is called starting 5. Starting 5. What is all about starting 5? Starting 5 are the first 5 players from basketball team who would play against another starting 5 of an opposing team when the basketball starts. In a basketball team, professional basketball team, they may sign up 12 to 15 basketball players, but only 5 players play at a time. So normally the starting 5s, they are called the best player in the team, in a team that the team owner or the coach may deem as the best player to play against an opposing team. They are given much time to play, to showcase their basketball skills and talents. They spend much of the time, for example, if they play 48 hours in a game, they play at least more than half of 48 hours. More than half of 48 hours they play. And they have more time playing than the rest of the basketball players. If that is the case, subsequently, those who play well are given much attention by the media. They will be interviewed. Oh, you're good today. You have scored a lot of points and you have done good. They become popular because the media would highlight their name. They are written in the headlines of basketball sports news, something like that. And eventually, basketball teams may see that skill, that talent of basketball player, and may offer them high salary eventually. And most, if not all, basketball players, they aim to earn a spot in the starting 5. If they think they are good enough, they want to earn that, to be a member of starting 5, to showcase their basketball skills. Why? Astronomical salaries follow if they play well. Do you know how much the richest basketball player receive? The highest player, the player who will receive the highest salary in a year? Who? Westbrook. Westbrook, actually, not many people like him, but he receives $47 million in a year. $47 million in a year. How much does LeBron receive? Maybe less, 43, 45. How about Steph Curry? How much he receive? 44 or more, 48? I don't know. But you can find that out. Why? These people are good in playing basketball. Teams saw how they were be very good contributor to their team. Well, employers appreciate, they favor employees with extraordinary talent and skill, not just in sports, not just in basketball. Do you believe that? Do you think if you would show your talent, your skill in the work, that you are extraordinary talented in your work, would your employer fail to observe that? If you show that you are very faithful, you are very diligent, you go to work earlier than the required time, you leave work after your time, would your employer not observe that and give you increase of salary or maybe promotion? Listen, the owner, the creator of everything, the Lord, the Lord appreciates and certainly favors believers. He chose. He favors believers. He preferred believers as a special possession. Special possession. Believers should expect favorable opportunities of blessing as holy nation of God. What can we understand when we say holy nation of God? We can learn from the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, let's read this together. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your head for the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Do not eat detestable things. Now, the Lord chose the Israelites as his treasured possession. And he required them, follow diligently my commandments and decrees. Why did God give them commandments? Why did God give them decrees to follow? The Lord wanted the Israelites to behave in holy righteousness as testimony. Testimony, practical example that behaving in godly righteousness, it attracts practical favorable benefits from the Lord. It attracts to the obedient believer. The obedient believer will have that favorable benefits that the Lord included in his commandments. The story of the Israelites, their obedience and disobedience, it showcases that obedience to God releases blessings, while disobedience to God, it causes undesirable punishment for rebellious transgression. As believers of Christ, we are favorably blessed because God has given us opportunity to be blessed. God situates us where we can gather, we can accumulate much of his blessing practically and spiritually for his purpose. What is the purpose of God for us? In verse 9, let's read again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, for you who are grammarians, what is the word that? Word that can be a pronoun or a noun, but it can be conjunction. In this situation, it is used as conjunction. What is a conjunction? That conjunction, that, it signals, it introduces the purpose, the cause, the reason why God preferred believers as his chosen people, why God preferred believers as royal priesthood, why God preferred believers as holy nation and special possession. What is his purpose? That God prefers us as his chosen people, as his royal priesthood, as holy nation and special possession. What is God's reason? What caused him to choose us? That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is the purpose, to declare. What shall we declare? Apostle Paul testified in the Lord that the Lord commanded him, and he told it in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among them, those who are sanctified by faith in me. We are called out from darkness to his wonderful light. From darkness to light means from the power of Satan, from the influence of Satan, from the control of Satan to God. By his grace, the Lord called us from darkness to light. when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God freed us, give us freedom from the control, from the power of the devil. The devil cannot control us anymore. But when the Lord freed us, he didn't leave us just as we are, just live our life on our own effort. He did not do that. Okay, you are freed, you go. Do whatever you want. No, he didn't. Why? We can be then tempted and return to darkness again if he does that. Because we do not have power on ourselves to oppose the influence, the control of Satan. Actually, our human nature is sinful. So whatever Satan, the devil, would show us, that is what we would like to do. That is our inclination, that is our tendency. The Lord sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts after he freed us, after we believe in Christ, after we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He sent the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, into our heart to empower us oppose temptation from the devil. He provides us essential things we need to live in godly lifestyle. He has already provided. It is us. For us, it is our move, effort, to ask God, where can I have that provision, Lord, to live in godly righteousness? That is for us to discover. So our lifestyle, when we are able to discover that, when we are able to oppose the influence of Satan, our decision, our action, our words, even our thoughts, our whole being, deserve as godly showcase and practical example of favorable benefits that causes praise and gratitude to God. Let me share a personal experience. There are times when I dream of my old life. There are times when the Lord show again the wickedness of my youth in my dreams. And I wake up wondering, Lord, why did I dream about that? And that is to remember you were that before. Now you remember me. And that caused me to ask the Lord, Lord, don't allow me to return to that experience. It's not very exciting for me now. And I praise him for reminding me that. Observers will also be attracted when they see our lifestyle, the way we speak. My mouth is not the best. The words that comes out of my mouth is not the best. If in our place to say something offensive is very normal, and everyone would say it, and everyone would not be offended because they hear from everyone. So it's kind of like it's normal. But when we go out of that place, others will hear, oh, that would be offended, that the person might be offended. We don't know, because in our place, it's normal to say something offensive to others. Have you observed if your mindset would be very aware if you are saying something offensive? Observers will observe that and see the changes in your life. And they may put their faith in the Lord, and they too may personally praise the Lord for his abundant grace, mercy, and love for them when they put their trust in Christ. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, Let's read this. This is very normal, and you know this. In a large house, there are articles only, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for a special purpose, some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. Do you have special thing in your home? Very special, just especially for you. This is mine. I'm not very sure about this, but my family may have been amused that I bought a good number of scissors. Number of scissors? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there are more than 20 scissors in our home. There's one or more scissor you can find in various parts of our home, in the room, in our bedroom, in the washroom, in the kitchen. Actually, I even tied one scissor, tied a string in it, so that it won't be misplaced, so that scissor would just stay in that place. Anybody who would use that scissor would just use it and just leave it in that place. I don't want that scissor to be removed in that place. I want it there because I know that I would use it one day. What is so special with scissors in my drawer? If you go to my drawer in my office, there are more than 5 scissors in my drawer. Many times people would come there. Pastor, do you have scissors? Yeah, go ahead and have scissors. Pastor, you have scissors? Go ahead. And they forgot to return. That's why I bought more. If you do not return, I bought more. Because I can find where you put. In my family, I made it sure that my family paid attention and understand my instruction. This is my instruction. Do not ever use, do not even touch the scissor I use to cut hair. There's special scissor that I use to cut hair. Because when you touch the scissor, the oil in your fingertips could cause the scissor to rust. But praise God, there are stainless now. But back in the Philippines, we used that scissor from Albay, and it's easily rusted if you just touch, if you don't put oil on it. But praise God, we have here in Canada those stainless. And for sure, my children, my wife, even my wife do not dare to touch it. I want it that my scissor will always be sharp when I use it, as I expected. That is why I purchased many scissors, even sharp scissors, so that they will not be tempted to use, even touch the scissor I use, especially for cutting hair. You have something that you take care very meticulously with so much care? Do you have something that you use for a special purpose? Maybe you can say, oh, my cell phone, you cannot touch my cell phone. Well, I don't know about that. You cannot touch my laptop. You don't know about that. My camera, but maybe. You do not even want others to use, even touch, even members of your family. Do you have that? Think about it. What is it? If you have something that you don't want others to touch, you don't want others to use, but you yourself would just take care of it very meticulously, you have a better understanding what it means to be chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. The Lord's purpose is for us to declare the praises of Him who called us out into His wonderful light. Can you personally testify? Can you personally tell that your life experiences are a declaration of praise to God? Can you say that? My life declares the praises of him. If you were to tell others that you praise God for all the practical experiences of transformation ever since you followed Christ as your Lord, what could that be? What is it that was transformed in your life? Your behavior, your attitude, the way you talk, your habit, your daily practices. Do your life experience been better when you followed Christ? Do you want it better? Do you want your life now? Do you like your life now better than before you followed Christ? Can you say that? Would you now prioritize the Lord in your decision? Because your life had been better since you followed Jesus Christ. Would you? In verse 10 it says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people, the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Among all creation, God prioritized believers. Can you accept that? Can you accept that reality? He prioritized you and me. Before we placed our faith in Christ, God considers us as his enemies. We are not his people. But after we trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gave us the right to become children of God. Not just to anyone else. Not everyone is given right to become children of God, only believers. Faith in Christ includes repentance. Repentance means not just saying sorry, that's the start, saying sorry, but repentance means you turn from what you did wrong to do it right. That's repentance. And desire to live and live actually in godly righteousness. That is the result of repentance. To live in godly righteousness is most practical proof of repentance and trust in the Lord. We trust that in godly righteousness is the most favorable lifestyle we can ever have. We practice godly righteousness. It is the best lifestyle we can ever have on earth and until eternity. Nothing else. Nothing else. You want to have the best lifestyle? Pray that God enable you to live in godly righteousness. Whatever that may be, God would give you wisdom to it and ask for empowerment from the Holy Spirit of Christ. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ, we live in godly righteousness. We cannot do it on our own because our instinct is not righteousness. Our instinct is unrighteousness. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit. That is when we are practically reconciled with God. We can say that we are now reconciled with God because we practice the righteousness of God. We can never be reconciled to God if we do not follow the righteousness that God wants us to live. We cannot. Reconciliation to God. This is a practical exhibit. Practically exhibited when we practice godly righteousness. Godly righteousness pleasant to him, according to him. What is godly righteousness pleasant to him? They are written in his word, in the scripture. If you are not reading your Bible, meaning you are not interested in living in godly righteousness, because we do not know what godly righteousness is unless we are familiar with the word of God. If we only know a little from the word of God, we only know little of godly righteousness. Have you read this in Romans chapter 8, verse 13 to 17? Let's read. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Are you scared of your father? Just think about your father right now. When was the last time you were so scared of him? Or father figure, if you would. Why are you scared? You were scared only when you are mischievous, right? When you do naughty things. When you disobey. But when you are obedient, your father do not scold you. Instead, he would even give you gifts or something. If earthly fathers are good, Heavenly Father is far better. There's this glorious experience. This is the ultimate pinnacle of life. How is that? When we live in godly righteousness, we experience glorious experience. How do you describe glorious experience? What is glorious experience? One word, it's bliss. B-I-L-I-S-S, bliss. It's a bliss. It's kind of like heavenly experience, kind of like. You may have heard some parents say, I'm proud of you, child. I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you, daughter. Have you heard that from your parents? Or you may be longing that your parents will tell you, I'm proud of you, daughter. I'm proud of your son. I'm proud of your child. Yet, listen carefully. The scripture repeatedly warned that God is opposed to the proud. God is opposed to the proud. When believers are proud of their children, they are implying that they want God to oppose them. It's worldly statement to say, I'm proud of you. Why they would say, I'm proud of you? Because they want to share the credit. I'm proud. Saying, I did well as parent. I'm good. I did well to teach you. Kind of like, that's the pride of the parents. But it's worldly. In actuality, when they say, I'm proud of you, they actually want to verbally express that glorious feeling for the achievement of their children. Why do believers say, I'm proud of you, when this is worldly, when they know that they oppose God, they are inviting opposition from God? Because they are not well informed how to say it, how they did not know how to say it properly, that glorious experience. They don't know how. They just heard from somebody else and even the pastor was saying it, maybe I should say it because the pastor is saying it. Even pastors do not realize that many times. It just blurted out. So how should believers express verbally when we sense that glorious feeling for the attainment or achievement of loved ones? How do you say it? Suggestion. say, I'm glad. Praise God. He gave you such incredible talent. Or, I'm glad. Praise God. You achieved your dream. I'm glad. Praise God for your success. You express your feeling that you are glad, but you point to God as the origin of that achievement, attainment, or success. That is what you want. You want to declare praise of God. That is how we should be saying and not saying, I'm proud of you. If you can remember that, don't ever use that word again, or unless you want God to oppose you. Again, the Bible is very clear. If you go and search in Google, God opposed the proud, it will show you. God opposed the proud, Google it, verses, Bible verses, and it will show you. It was not written not just once. Multiple times it is written in the Bible. Why is it multiple times written in the Bible that God opposed the proud? It is because God opposed the proud. It's an emphasis. It's serious thing. When it is emphasized in the Bible, when it's repeated in the Bible, it is very serious thing. Because the proud, the behavior proud, the attitude pride, does not come from the Lord. But from the Lord, it is humility. The pride comes from the devil. Now, you practice that. I'm glad and praise God. Every time you say something, you want to praise your children for what it. I'm glad, praise God. You are very obedient today, this morning. I'm glad you are healthy. Just practice it, and it will come out naturally, and you may forget saying, I'm proud of you. Such are a few examples that believers can declare praise of Him who called out us of darkness to light. Saying, I'm proud of you, that's the darkness term, word, phrase that the Lord, that the devil wants you to keep on saying, so that praise of God would not come out of your mouth. We praise the Lord for things favorable to us, great things, little things, and we prioritize Him. When we prioritize the Lord, we love Him with all our heart, we love Him with all our mind, our soul, and our word. The word that we say should testify about the love of the Lord. We cannot be transformed overnight, I believe that. But when you practice it and keeps on practicing, that instead of saying, I'm proud of you, you say, praise God for your achievement. I'm happy for you. I'm glad. I rejoice with you. Just be aware of that when you want to appreciate somebody else. God helps us remember to prioritize Him in everything we do, in everything we say. Well, the original disciples, the apostles of Christ, the original 12 apostles, they learned from Him practically in person, but they were still confused how they may prioritize Him as their Lord. Why? Well, there are cultural, traditional practices of kindness, of goodness. This is how the culture, the community, the society around them would do. And it confused them how they may express their faith in Christ and prioritize Him. That is also our problem. We are confused when we want to appreciate, we forget to say, praise the Lord for your achievement. We should remember that. Now, a few days before the crucifixion of Christ, maybe 6 days accordingly, it narrated in John chapter 12, verse 3 to 7. Let's read this. This is very familiar. Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped His hair with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why hasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." That pure nard, accordingly, was made out of flour grown in the Himalayas mountains. It's a perfume imported from Tibet or India and Nepal. Maybe there are a lot of pure nards in Punjab. Do you have that now? Maybe you have, but you're just not very popular now. But in that time, at the time, the biblical time, that pure nard, how much was its worth? How much is a pint of perfume? A pint of perfume is almost 1/2 liter or 0.473 liter. And how much does 1 pint of pure nard cost in biblical times? It cost 1 year worth of wages. 1 year. And many times in the biblical times, they do not have much vacation in 1 year. So almost 300 denarii. How much in our context, what is the annual minimum wage? Annual. More or less 30,000. More or less, I don't know. But wow, $30,000. Would you spend that much for one time for Jesus Christ? Would you? $30,000. That's his brand new crossover. Brand new crossover. SUV. Well, one may argue, Mary may have been very wealthy so that she can waste such expensive perfume at one time. I was reading some articles about basketball players, new basketball players. When they signed their million contract, they would spend $1,000 for one night just drinking or anything that they do. If you say that Mary may have been wealthy, or she can just waste something expensive, that thinking has similar indignation, has similar no appreciation of Christ. Jesus appreciated it when Mary poured that pint of perfume, pure nard. It was biblically recorded in her memory to remember him, remember what she did. In that story, Mary sacrificed or offered $30,000 worth of perfume in their time. But Judas chose to say, it should have been used for something else better. He was saying, like, the poor is the better recipient of that than Christ. Christ doesn't deserve that. As if he was saying like that. He was indignant. He did not appreciate that Mary prioritized the Lord. For him, he was thinking of prioritizing verbally the poor, but he was actually prioritizing his self, not the Lord. No wonder. Pray and consider how your story as believer of Christ would be told if it is written biblically. Pray that your lifestyle be a declaration of praises of God, not just praise. Praises, that's plural. Praises of God, not otherwise. The Lord's Supper reminds that we are mandated to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Proclaim means declare. Declare the Lord's death. What He did on the cross. How you were saved. How you were given freedom from the control of the devil. Until when? Until He returns. Do we have understanding why Christ was crucified for our sins? Can you say that your lifestyle declare the praises of God so that others may imitate to praise Him too? Take this time, bow down, and thank God for your eternal life. If you have received Him as your Lord and Savior, if you have any doubt that you have believed in Jesus Christ, ask the Lord to give you faith. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let's thank God for what He has done, sending His Son Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross. Let's thank Him.